Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, and the show is presented by EMP 1808 Loss Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Something that's not very EMP 180 weight loss friendly would be eating Big Macs all the time.
Right.
The story came out about...
Well, they are good cakes. You can't argue that.
Man, I have not had one of those in years.
I'll be honest. I like me some McDonald's. Never a big Big Mac guy. It's a lock. I've had, I think, two or less Big Macs in my entire
life. You're kidding.
I'm right there with you, Cakes. I'm a quarter pounder with cheese guy at McDonald's.
When's the last time you had a Big Mac?
Oh, I don't know.
It's probably been years.
Nah, that's not true. Definitely within the last year. I could tell. And I don't eat the bun. But I get sized for the Thousand Island dressing in it. It's just silly.
It's not Thousand Island. Dressing. Special sauce.
Anyway, story comes out of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
That has to be a hurting spot on the map.
Don Gorski, who's 64, he holds the Guinness World Record for eating the most Big Macs. He just chowed down on his 30,000th combo of the two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
By the way, how do we know he ate 30,000 of them? Documented. There are pictures of it. I can say I've had 31,000.
He was featured in the 2004 documentary Super Size Me. So maybe just did the math that he has two a day. That's what he does. He does two a day. But my favorite quote in the article was he said he can't remember the last time he ate a banana or an apple. They were saying, well, do you ever eat?
Because he also eats the fruit and yogurt parfait from McDonald's.
But he said, last year I had some corn.
Yeah.
How's that guy still alive?
He said his cholesterol's silly.
I don't get
he
it.
Says he weighs 190 pounds. His cholesterol is 165. He's better than normal. He said he's eaten at least one Big Mac almost every day since May of 1972.
Well, because
it's a long run.
A Big Mac is less than 600 calories. So if he was only having two of those a day. Plus some yogurt. He's under 2,000 calories.
He does a Valdez bit, too, where he buys 6 Big Macs on Monday.
Okay.
Then he eats 2 on the spot, and then he puts the rest in the fridge.
That's a hurting move.
Puts the rest in the refrigerator at home.
I mean, Big Macs?
You're selling my name. I don't do that.
Well, you do, like, the sandwich bit where you make them all for the week.
I used to do that until Fridays got real smushy.
Yeah.
So no more? You don't do it anymore?
I don't do that anymore.
Is he so busy in his life that he can't go to McDonald's every day?
No, he says he purchases 6 Big Macs on Monday, eats 2 on the spot, then he puts the rest in the fridge.
Then on Thursday,
he buys 8, and he goes through the process again. So he's there Monday and Thursday at the McDonald's in Fond du Lac.
Right.
Who else is from Fond du Lac? I swear I know that name from the show.
Well, you know it because
I believe Colin Kaepernick's from Fond du Lac.
It might be Jim McElvain.
I think that might be
it. I'll look that
you know
up.
It's kind of a famous town.
You know who else from Fond du Lac? Former Redskins offensive lineman.
Corey Raymer. I'm telling you, it was from
that
somebody.
That might be.
That's what it is. It's from somebody way back who was one of the first guests
Corey
ever
Raymer.
On the show.
Corey Raymer.
Probably what it is.
That's why it's in your brain.
Yeah. Fond du Lac. There is nothing going on in Fond du Lac.
There's a lot of notable people from Fond du Lac.
Go ahead.
Well, from the sports world,
right?
As you mentioned,
was I right about Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I mean, Travis Diener, the assistant coach for Marquette. Paul Erickson, MLB player. Kaepernick. Nub, clanky MLB player. Corey Raymer. And UFC donk, Eric Schaefer.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of those.
And a lot of donks from politics and law whose names I don't recognize.
But could you imagine?
No.
90% of his diet is Big Mac.
I can't believe that.
How old is the guy?
65.
And he's doing pretty well. I mean, he is chubby, right? There's no, I mean,
nice. 190 pounds.
That's good.
Doesn't look bad. Now his, now his haircut looks bad.
Today. His haircut is terrible. By the way,
his haircut looks like he's from Fond du Lac.
Yes. He's listed as one of the notable people from Fond du Lac. Big Mac enthusiast.
Is that right?
Yes.
What's his name? Gorski?
Gorski.
Don Gorski.
The terrible last name. I can't believe he's alive. How do you eat Big Macs your entire life and live?
I don't know. It's silly. Well, he's probably got, you know, that has a little lettuce in there. Some veggies. Yeah, right.
Some pickle.
Some diced onions.
Jason, what would your one item be that you'd eat for the rest of your life?
Ooh. That's a good one. Ice cream?
No, probably not.
Oh, Rick.
You have it twice a day.
You're going to eat ice cream every meal?
For the rest of your life? Well, you act like it's not great. Like it's not
Hold
amazing.
Hold on. One item. That's a good question.
So one category of food?
It's hard to
I
go
think
wrong
I've got mine.
It's hard to go wrong with pepperoni pizza slices.
They are pretty solid.
They are solid.
Some good fried chicken would be solid.
I would go with sushi because you have a variety there, not just pepperoni pizza.
It's so unfilling.
I would get tired
so
of that
good.
Real quick.
You'd be hungry.
It's so delicious. That's such a gig.
That is difficult.
2 hours later.
Why am I getting piled on? I think JP might have hit on something. Fried chicken. If I could
Chicken's
do,
good, yeah. I
if
can
I
do
could
fries.
Do some good, greasy fried chicken.
Royal Farms fried chicken.
I mean, I like KFC. I mean, who's kidding?
Crab meat.
Chicken.
Crab cakes.
Speaking of something that's not
filling.
Crab meat, Rick. You know how long it takes you to get, like, a fistful of crab meat?
Hold on.
You're
it's for a novice.
The crabs?
No. Well, are you saying crab meat or crab cakes?
Well, you can make crab cakes out of the crab meat you pick.
And those are filling.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't take a long time to pick crab.
You know
meat.
What? He's just firing back at you because you joned on him. That's all.
But I agree with him.
Hey, you keep eating imitation crab meat on your sushi.
I'm not talking about imitation California roll crab meat.
I'm sure crab bombs from Jerry's aren't filling.
I'm sure crab soup isn't good.
Okay, all you uncultured dolts eating slices of pizza.
You're cultured because you eat sushi? Oh, my God. Please.
Right. It's sushi from Harris Teeter. I get sushi from a variety of places, Harris Teeter being one of them.
Probably do you get California rolls?
You sleep
the worst.
On wasabi zen.
California rolls are just zilches.
I also had sushi this weekend at Montgomery Mall.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure food court sushi's silly.
It wasn't right. bad.
What'd you get?
So it was pretty fresh.
Do you get California rolls?
No, I had...
They're for complete
I had a mixture.
Is that where you saw the movie?
Saw the movie at Regal, Rockville.
Hey, can cakes use chopsticks? I bet he uses a fork with a sushi.
Of course I can use chopsticks,
Rick. I guarantee you he uses them down to the nubs. Like he's one of those.
No, I don't. I can use
I bet I it, sl- it slips out like 10 times.
I get sized
fingers.
The fork.
I use the choppers too.
You got to use the chopsticks.
Silly with the chopsticks.
You got to. It's the experience of it.
Oh, I bet you.
These are the cultured guys right. over here.
I'm very cultured.
I bet sushi breaks up in the soy sauce that he dips in all the time.
That kind of happens.
By the way.
Tony.
Not to like veer too far into politics. It'll be like split second.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Is this Trump
related?
No. I think Trump actually tweeted today to not vote for this guy, but they're having an election in West Virginia. And one of the candidates on the Republican side,
I'm going to vote for Dana Holgorsen.
I think his last name is Blankenship. I could be wrong. But the big controversy there is he was calling Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, his wife, a China woman.
Oh,
he loves to drop Chinaman.
That's not a good thing to do.
That's not racist. They're a person from China. Chinaman.
You wouldn't. Bickle wouldn't be sized.
Hey, you call whatever you want, brother. Do what you do. You. It doesn't offend me.
Hey, I didn't say it. Yeah, Blankenship did.
I think it maybe had to do with Elaine Chao's dad. Called him a Chinaman.
Whoever Elaine Chao is.
Yeah, I don't know who Elaine Chao is.
Wasn't there a Chao that our guy Ford, Rob Ford, was against? He was on the council there, the city council in
Toronto.
That was Mr. Chao
in the Hangover movie. That's the only Chao that I know.
Didn't he have a rival? I'm sure her name wasn't Elaine Chao, but he had a rival in Toronto city council.
I don't remember Chao.
You don't remember that?
Elaine Chao is the Secretary of Transportation.
Olivia Chao.
See? Olivia Chow was his rival.
Do you know that his brother's like the big silly again over
they
there?
Still, the Fords the are Nub, still running.
The Nubs Ford.
They're still
became,
running Toronto?
Well, he's like in charge of that party for Toronto.
Yeah. The only people I know party. In Toronto are DeMar DeRozan and right. Austin Matthews. Those are the only people I know.
All right, let's get into the entertainment pictures. We don't have much time.
What else you got?
What else you got? I didn't even do it yet.
Oh, okay.
JP mentioned Infinity War, and so far here domestically, it's already, in 2 weeks, already made, just here in the United States, $450 million. Mm. Overboard, in its first week, finished second, almost $100 million behind it, though. It made $14
million. Knobs.
A Quiet Place did $7 million so far in 5 weeks. That's made almost $160 million. I Feel Pretty did another $5 million cakes. That's made about $38 million. It is a winner for them. Not a big winner, but their budget was $32 million. So they're already in the profit on that one. And then Rampage made another $4 million. So far, that's made $84 million. So
that has to be considered a flop. Rampage with The Rock?
So far, yeah. I mean, budget of $120 million.
And it's only made $84 million?
Yeah, but that's just here domestically.
Okay, so it's making its money overseas.
You know it's making it everywhere. Apropos, I mean, I don't know. Just if you, I don't know if they want to put this on NBC Sports Washington, but Paulina Gretzky posted another picture on Instagram that made everybody nuts yesterday, where it looks like she's poolside.
Dougie will put it up there.
What is she? Does she have one or two kids? How many do she and DJ?
I think
have?
Just one.
Just
Would
one.
She qualify as an Instagram model?
I guess.
I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say so.
She's not an IG model.
Well, she's definitely an Instagram sensation,
right?
But who knows?
I don't think that's what made her famous.
No, it made her famous.
Her last name made her famous.
Her famous dad.
Yeah.
And her mom. Isn't her mom Janet Jones?
Who
we met in Atlanta. Remember that? At Super Bowl in Atlanta?
Yeah. And banging DJ.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. That also, it took her next level anytime you bang DJ.
Not much Tiger buzz today, by the way.
Very little.
Tiger had trouble playing this week.
Hey, it was a rough
it
week
It is
for
Tiger
him.
Week. Players' Championship. Great.
It is. It's Tiger
great
Week.
Great threesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Week.
He's great.
Who's he playing with? Phil and who else?
Phil and Ricky. Ricky
Fowler. Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Unbelievable threesome.
Must see TV.
Tiger will do fine. He'll putt better this week. He hit the ball pretty well.
He actually did. His putter was
Sylvester
awful.
Stallone.
Putting like cakes.
May come back in Rambo 5, even though he's 71 years old, cakes.
He still looks ripped for 71.
Currently, right now, he's filming Creed 2.
Yes, with Drago's son.
DJ Khaled is in the news. I almost feel bad for him. I mean, it's stupid what he said. I don't care about politically, but it's just stupid. I think this position is stupid. But he did an interview back in 2014 that somebody unearthed. And he talked about how men are the kings, and so women should basically, when they have sex, women should kind of perform for the man. It was a very just archaic viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. He also doesn't do one thing.
Well, to the point where he said he would never do a certain act, but of course the woman
he's not a giver
should do that act.
Oh, he doesn't like doing that?
No, like would you get sized?
Apparently he's not butt-sized.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah. So he's getting just crushed
he
now.
He likes
now,
receiving.
I feel bad. He's just being stupid. He's doing a morning show. He's talking trash. I mean, I'm sure he probably doesn't do it, but I mean, who cares what DJ Khaled thinks
Nobody.
About his view on sex?
Nobody.
It's just so dumb. But he's just getting attacked now. There's a hacker, another one, I guess, that hacked into Paris Hilton's phone or whatever between 2015 and 2017. A woman, I won't even dare pronounce her name. Her first name is Paitsar. Try to pronounce her last name right there, Cakes. Paitsar
Bichadzian.
All right, there you go.
That's the best I can do there.
Was hacking Paris's phone from 2015 to 2017 and stole up to $40,000 on her credit cards. Mm. She had a party at the Roosevelt
Cousin in the
hotel. She stole sex pics and I guess maybe some sex video from her iCloud.
Did she have a Jason-like party at the Roosevelt where he was lugging his own
vodka?
Gallon liter of vodka around the premises.
It's so a lot cheaper to go back in the room.
Poolside bar prices.
I don't remember this. What did I do?
We were at the Roosevelt. We stayed there for some. We remember
when
we did the NBC party.
Yeah. Party. Right.
And they put us up in the coolest hotel in
town.
You
thought Melora Hardin wanted to bang you?
No, it was Jenna Fisher.
No, Melora Hardin, I thought, was...
No,
I wanted to bang her, but Jenna Fisher...
Yeah, it wasn't reciprocated, right?
And then Creed got better.
Then, Creed got better.
She was eyeing me. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lie about that.
Which one got better?
Creed, one of the actors.
Yeah,
Creed.
Yeah, you definitely got better.
How old is he, 80? He can go F himself.
But we were at that pool, that like legendary pool at the Roosevelt, and Jason, we all had rooms
by the
right
way,
by the
fantastic
pool.
Fantastic hotel.
Great spot.
Jason's room was right next to the pool, mm-hmm. and instead of getting the drinks there, it was like $18 a drink. Right. We were just going back into Jason's room and Jeep.
Yeah,
and
we're white trashing it up.
Yeah, right. Drinking the vodka we brought right. or bought next door.
Bought it at the liquor store right down the street.
Right,
it was a brilliant move.
The things we won't do for booze. We also went out.
And by the way, those drinks were about $18 a pop.
Oh, expensive.
Yeah. It was no joke.
We also went out in an ice storm in Dallas on a Super Bowl trip, and we had to go buy Tito's vodka because they didn't have any in the hotel. And we risked life and limb on the icy streets ever just to go get some vodka.
Well, if Deep Eddie was around then, we would have gotten Deep Eddie.
Correct.
Right.
But we didn't.
Where was
we
that? Didn't. Was that,
that was in Dallas.
It was in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right, coming up next, we will talk some NBA playoffs.
Texas
Antonio
vodka.
Daniels, former Wizard, joins us to break down the NBA playoffs here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, one of our favorite guests to talk some NBA playoffs, Antonio Daniels, former Wizard, 13-year NBA vet. Morning, Antonio.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, before we get into what's going on in the playoffs right now, I wanted to ask you, is one of the teams you're really close with following now and work with is OKC. And it didn't work out for him in the playoffs. You had, Melo basically kind of disappearing in fourth quarters for them there. In the last game, Paul George shot poorly, but Westbrook took 43 shots. What do you expect is going to happen moving forward for that Oklahoma City Thunder team?
Not a clue. Not a clue. And I'm being honest, because I think a lot has to do with what Paul George decides to do as far as free agency is concerned. Melo has a $28 million option this year, so I'm sure that he'll opt into that.
Right.
So I think a lot of it has to do with what Paul George is going to do as far as, you know, whether or not he's going to be there or whether or not he decides to take his talents elsewhere.
From what you know, do you think George enjoyed playing with Russell?
Yeah, it really seemed like they enjoyed each other. It seemed like they had a good relationship off the floor at times. On the floor, it was difficult, which is, it's going to happen in your first season. Because if you're Paul George, you're used to having your own team. You're used to having the responsibility on your shoulders. But now you're in a position where you have to share that with Russell Westbrook. So it's not just an adjustment for Paul George. It was an adjustment for Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. It was an adjustment for Russell Westbrook. It was an adjustment for a lot of guys. But what would get me is if he decides to leave because it didn't work out. I mean, to each his own. If that's what you feel is best for you, I get it. But there's very few teams throughout history where everything just seems to click in your first season. It takes time for things to come together.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you about another team that you're close with, and that's the Spurs. What the hell is going on with Kawhi Leonard? Please tell me what. You got it. Don't say you have no clue.
No, you have some insight.
Don't say you have no clue, because I know you do.
No, you know, for me, I'm always on the side of if a guy is not feeling right physically, then he shouldn't play. Period. Plain and simple. Because if this is just a injury situation, which by all indications, it seems that's what it is. If it's just an injury situation and Kawhi Leonard is saying, look, I don't feel right. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't feel right. I'm not as fast. I'm not as strong, I'm not as explosive, I'm not as agile as I regularly am. And Pop, I don't feel right out on that floor. I do not blame him for sitting out. Because the way that this league works is you come back and you try and play to try and please the fans, you'll soon be sitting with the fans. A la Brandon Roy. He came back early, And there's a lot of different instances where guys come back early and they to try and please the organization or try and please the fans. Next thing you know, you're injured for the remainder of your life, and that team moves on beyond you. Mm. Ain't nobody thinking about Brandon Roy now. They're thinking about Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and LaMarcus Aldridge for a legitimate amount of time. So you have to do as a player what is in your best interest. What serves you best moving forward? Because I can guarantee you this, that organization that you are playing for is going to do what's in their best interest. So your job is to look out for yourself while you can.
It's just so strange, you know, and you got to think that he's fractured some relationships too, I would think.
But the thing is, if he's fractured relationships because he's doing what's best for himself, yeah. So be it.
Mm-hmm.
So be it. I mean, that's something that comes along with the territory. You can't please everybody. And the fact of the matter is Kawhi Leonard is not a role player. This is not a guy that you're talking about that's going to give you 10 or 11 points a night. Kawhi Leonard is one of the top three or four players on the planet. So if you're the San Antonio Spurs, now you kind of got to bite the bullet a little bit. You got to bite the bullet and be patient until you can get him back to 100%. But for me, and the way that things were handled, because I live in San Antonio. I'm in San Antonio now.
I know.
Things that were said about Kawhi Leonard by his teammates, you know, things that were said by Tony Parker, I don't think that's fair to Kawhi Leonard at all. I don't think that's fair at all. If you have an issue with me, you sit me down and we talk about it. You don't go public about anything like that, not within the locker room, not the way you feel about it. So people were saying, well, you know what, why did Kawhi Leonard stay away so long? I'm not going to lie, because if I'm Kawhi Leonard and I come back, the first person I'm going to and I'm talking to about what's going on is Tony Parker. That's the first one I'm going to. Now I become a distraction to what's going on. So maybe it's best that I do stay away.
Joined by Antonio Daniels, talking some NBA playoffs with the former Wizard, 13-year NBA vet. Hey, during your time in the NBA, give me your top two or three clutch shooters at the end of the game.
Obviously, Michael Jordan, right. Kobe Bryant, Gilbert Arenas.
Ooh, I like the Gil inclusion. In I like that.
Gilbert Arenas is the most talented guy I've ever played with. I tell people that all the time.
And who's in that? Who's in that group then? So you put Gilbert above who?
Tim Duncan.
Wow.
Do you still
now, I understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said the most talented guy I played with.
Right.
You're not saying the best, but you're saying the most talented. Yeah, I get it.
Right. Gilbert is by far, and who else is in that category? Chris Paul, Ray Allen, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Rasheed Wallace, all these different guys that I was blessed to play with throughout my 13-year career. Gilbert Arenas, as far as talent is concerned, is by far the most talented guy that I played with. That dude was flat out amazing.
Yeah, and he was clutch. He hit some game winners. And I bring that up because today I see a stat. You know, everybody talks about Michael Jordan hitting the game winners. LeBron already has two more buzzer beaters in the playoffs than Michael Jordan had in his entire career.
Well, I mean, the thing is the thing I've always loved about LeBron and I've always respected about LeBron, even though the national narrative for a number of years was, you know what, he doesn't have a killer instinct or he's not clutch. I think we have the wrong definition of what killer instinct means. Because to me, killer instinct doesn't mean, you know what, I'm going to shoot the ball. Everybody in the arena knows I'm going to shoot the ball. Killer instinct means at the end of the Golden State game in Game 7, him running down and blocking a shot. That's a killer instinct. Killer instinct means, you know what, somebody on my team has a better shot than I do, and I'm going to trust that guy. So killer instinct, for me, means making the right play. And LeBron James has always made the right play. I don't want the guy, not I don't want, but I would rather have the guy that's going to make the right play as opposed to the guy that I know through rain, hail, sleet, and snow is going to shoot the ball no matter what.
Which one of these four series before they started was the most intriguing to you? Because, you know, we have 2-3-0s. We might have a couple sweeps. You got 2-3-1s in the West. I thought that I certainly thought that the Raptors would put up more of a fight. I thought the Sixers would put up more of a fight. But, you know, who knows? But I'm a little disappointed with those. But out of the four, which one were you most interested in going in?
Actually, I think they're all interesting for different reasons, though. Like, if you look at the Philly-Boston series, it's interesting because Boston is without its best two players.
Right.
And yet they are still accomplishing what they're accomplishing, which I think speaks to the greatness of Brad Stevens. And then on Philadelphia, from their side, it's nice to see them get back to relevance. But they're being led by two guys with no rookie experience. I mean, with no playoff experience whatsoever.
Right.
You know, and then when you go to Toronto and Cleveland, there's a mental block that it seems like the Toronto Raptors have with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Or I shouldn't say mental block. I should say a LeBron block. It's like they can't get past LeBron for some strange reason. And every time it seems to be the same thing with this team. You know, they get to playing LeBron, and then Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan aren't enough to get it done. So I think that every series, really in the Eastern Conference, is intriguing just for a different reason. And for me, it'll be great to see LeBron get back to the NBA Finals for 8 straight years, which is incredible in its own right.
Yeah, well, with the Raptors, this year was supposed to be different because they were supposed to be deeper. They won 59 games. They have this bench. And really, it's a 3-0 series. But two of the games, I mean, they should have won game one. And this last game was a buzzer beater. They were close games. But you're right. It's a mental hurdle they can't get over.
Yeah, and that's what – but, you know, all year on NBA radio, we talk about the Raptors. And Raptor fans always call in and say, you guys don't give the Raptors any respect. And it's not that. It's just the fact that when respect time comes around, they just seem to kind of fold a little bit. And the same thing with the Raptors, same question that you had about the Raptors is the same question that you had about Mike D'Antoni, his system in the Houston Rockets. It's great in the regular season. It's fantastic that you guys got the number one seed, but you really want to see if what you guys accomplish in the regular season can translate to postseason. And with the Raptors, it never seems to translate to the postseason. They're fantastic, 65 wins or whatever it may be, number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and then it comes around to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they go back to the Raptors of old. So to get to that point, you kind of have to prove that you deserve to be there.
Antonio, what's your view on the Wiz first-round exit against the Raptors? Their core of Wall, Beal, and Porter, they're probably not going to be going anywhere with the deals they've signed in the next few years. How do they become a serious Eastern Conference contender going forward?
If you guys remember when I was on with you guys last year, one of the questions that we asked ourselves collectively was, do you pay Otto Porter?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the big issues. And now it's a difficult situation because for the Wizards, you're financially strapped. So you don't have much flexibility moving forward as far as the way your roster can be constructed, and you're 8 seed. That's one piece. And the other piece is you have to ask yourself, does this team like each other? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm on the outside looking in. But the question I have is, do these guys really get along with one another? Does John Wall and Bradley Beal, do they really like each other? Does John Wall and Gortat, do they get along? Do these guys want what's best for each other? And if the answer is no, collectively, something has to change. Wow. I don't know what that change may be, but you can't be one, financially strapped, you know, where you have no roster flexibility as far as finances are concerned, and two, you have a lot of guys around each other that don't get along and bring the best out of each other. Yeah. That means something has to change.
I totally agree with you, and I was against signing Otto for that reason, but here's the problem. They got 3 max guys and 1 super max guy. Nobody really is going to go for Wall and his super max deal because of his injury history. Nobody's going to want Otto because, to me, he's a dime a dozen player and he's making all that money and he has some injuries. So, to me, the only piece to move if they're going to make a big dramatic move is probably Bradley Beal. And I've said this, and you're talking about Kawhi, and clearly he's not a Kawhi Leonard, but I would be all in and do whatever I could to get somebody like Kawhi Leonard and have a major shakeup.
Oh, I'm sure you and 29 other teams would want that as well. Like, that's a given. You know, I get that. And I don't know. I'm not saying I know what the solution is. I'm not saying, but I do agree with you. I think it's going to be hard to rid yourself of Bradley Beal's deal. I think it's going to be difficult to rid yourself of John Wall's deal unless you're going to move him somewhere where another star is needed. Somewhere like New York, but then you have to have the assets to get back in return, which a lot of teams don't have. But the thing is, if you're a team like the Washington Wizards and you put all your eggs in this basket of these 3 guys, and yet you're a number 8 seed, so that means you are financially strapped and yet you're still average or mediocre. And to add to that, these guys really don't seem like they get along. And again, I'm on the outside looking in. These guys do not seem like they get along.
Yeah.
And it happens sometimes. it does happen sometimes. I'm not going to say that everybody on every team likes each other and so on and so forth. I'm not that silly. But when your two star players seem like they're butting heads like this, or even, you know, three or the five of your starters, 60% of your starting lineup doesn't really get along, that's an issue moving forward that has to be addressed somehow.
Yep, you're right. All right, let's fast forward to Eastern Conference Finals. Let's just assume Cleveland and Boston get there. You know, Brad Stevens is a great defensive mind. What can he dial up defensively for LeBron? Because, you know, you would think Tatum's just too small, too slight. Do they go Morris? There's a lot of double teams. Is it Horford? What can they do to try and stop LeBron?
You know what's wild? I played for Nate McMillan, who LeBron played first round in Indiana.
Right.
Dwayne Casey, who he's playing right now. And both of those guys are defensive guys. Both of them are defensive minds before they are offensive minds. They think defensively. And I tell you this, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And this is why I've always picked Cleveland to come out of the East, like no matter who they had, because LeBron is a different beast. He's a different beast in the fact that he can do what he can do by himself. But when you have a team full of spot-up shooters that are knocking down shots, it becomes a pick-your-poison offense. If you go back to the Miami Heat, now, obviously, the Miami Heat had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh as well, other star power, but they surrounded LeBron with guys to stretch the floor, the Ray Allens, the Mike Millers, the Shane Battiers, the James Joneses, Mario Chalmers, all these guys, right, all these guys that were catch-and-shoot guys. And that's where today's NBA is trending. But now, if you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers of today, they have a Kevin Love, they have a Kyle Korver, a J.R. Smith, all these guys that are catch-and-shoot guys, and when those guys are hitting shots, you're in trouble. Especially if you don't have anything offensively to combat them hitting shots. But that's what Golden State gives you. Golden State gives guys that can come back at Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith and make up for what they don't bring defensively. Because LeBron James by himself is something to deal with. When those other guys are going as well, so LeBron's going to get his 30, and then Kevin Love gets his 20, and then J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver get their 10 to 15, you got a problem on your hands.
Real quick, we got less than a minute. Who do you have winning it all in the end? Do you think it's going to be Golden State?
I do have Golden State. Yeah. I've had Golden State. They just check all the boxes.
Yep.
You know, as far as star power, firepower, chemistry, very well coached, discipline, all the things that go along, a team that is selfless, willing to sacrifice for what's best for that team. One day it's Kevin Durant's day. Next day it's Steph Curry's day. Next day it's Draymond Green's day. Next day it's Klay Thompson's day. When you have a team that's built like that, where it's not about you as an individual, but what's best for the team, you're going to be successful with that amount of star power.
Always love having you on, Antonio. You're the best.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Have a good week, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
You can follow him on Twitter, adaniels33. That's Antonio Daniels. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, you can join 106.7 The Fan at DC Improv for Chalk Talk with our special guest, Sean Doolittle. It's June 6th, starting at 7 p.m. You can meet the Nats closer and get the inside scoop on the season. Presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details at thefandc.com/events. And Grant and Danny are hosting.
I just asked the boys behind the glass what they did for Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
And Valdez, of course, he tradition with Valdez. He goes
that was Saturday.
Right. He goes with Uncle Kenny to Laurel Park, and they bet on all the horses, and they bet on the Derby and all
right.
that stuff. And he said that Laura, his wife, thought he would be back around 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So they could do something together.
2 p.m.
Oh, right.
What time did you get back? 9?
You got back at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I got back like at 8:30.
And she was bitter because
you didn't, well, you didn't have contact day. With her the whole day. Like, were you texting or
yeah,
anything?
I texted her. I asked her who she liked for the Derby.
That was it. That was it.
Did you get your morning buns? It's usually a Saturday tradition.
It's not a good time.
Right.
Understood.
Right.
But she should know that if it's Derby Day. He's going to be gone. The Derby starts at 6:45 or 6:30, whatever.
Yeah,
what does she think the Derby starts at 1 p.m?
She has to know he's gone all day.
And I've been doing it for 5-10 years now.
Right.
I'm sorry, but the wife of a sports radio show producer got to know the Derby is it's a dinner time race.
That's a sacred day for one Matt Valdez and it's his Uncle Kenny.
Especially for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we host a sports radio show, and I would say 50% of us didn't watch it. Cakes didn't watch it. I didn't watch it.
I was watching A Quiet Place. I was watching Jim from The Office run away from monsters.
I was busy. I was watching my opposing football team run all over us.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Week to week.
You know that the Derby starts around 6 o'clock.
Yeah, yes. You know when it starts, of course.
Just because you don't watch it, you definitely know the start time.
Laura asked to go on Saturday. She said, can I come? What do you think I said? No. With the quickness.
You said no.
Well, someone's got to watch the dog all day.
Well, she could have come. I mean, she likes to go and hang out and drink, right? She would have had a good time.
Had a crab cake.
She would have had a good time, right?
Cause see Uncle Kenny.
She would have been fine.
Yeah, but that's a guy thing.
What it's a Uncle guy Kenny's thing, right? But she could just sit there and
that's
booze.
A Valdez and Uncle Kenny thing.
I'm going to be an elite right now. What is Uncle Kenny's highest level of education?
Ooh.
He completed high school.
What does he
Why
do?
Why are you laughing?
What is Uncle Kenny's main source of income?
He completed high school.
He does contracting work for houses.
Yeah, he actually has a good gig.
It's a great gig. Contractors make
bank. He basically gets a higher bid and then sells it off to somebody to do it cheaper.
That's brilliant.
Then takes the profit.
Hmm. Sounds great.
Like, you've always known him as Uncle Kenny.
Yes, Ken.
Is he known by Ken to anybody?
No, it's Kenny.
I've had a theory on that, right?
Why?
Like, the guys who stick with the NY, like if John was, we do call him Johnny Cakes, whatever.
Sorry. Thanks.
Less successful, right? Mm. Like, President Trump wouldn't be the president if he was Donnie. If he had been Donnie his whole
I'm sure
life.
You could find a couple, but there aren't many. I'm sure most people kind of grow out of it.
Not our friend Tommy Horsecamp. he's the easy go-to.
Right,
Tommy.
Tommy Hilfiger is a good one.
That's a solid one.
Tom.
Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not Jim
That's
Garoppolo.
An athlete, though.
Yeah.
Well, it counts.
I'm talking in like the professional world.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to make me think about that the rest of the day. That's how you want to end the show.
Danny Ruye.
Yeah,
in the professional world. But it's Bill Gates, not Billy Gates.
It's fine.
Well.
Uncle Kenny's an upstanding citizen. He just likes the ponies. Who doesn't?
Just a theory.
Who's our guy, the gambler, that's in jail? Billy Walters. Is he still in jail or did he get out yet?
Oh, I didn't know he was in jail. He might be. I don't know.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The professional gambler.
Yeah. He got it a whole thing.
I just remember seeing
insider trading.
Yeah, it was the insider trading.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson's buying stock.
Maybe he's still there.
So, Cakes, will you have a first period beer?
I have an every period beer.
So three
the
beers.
Playoffs, I ramp it up, JP.
Right. Is that
regular season, I
You're
was probably
a two beer
like
guy?
A two beer during either the Wiz or the Caps regular season. But during the playoffs, your boy ramps it up.
And I think at home, it seems like when you're out and about, you seem to be like a Miller Lite guy.
Yeah.
But at home, you seem to be a craft beer guy.
I shake it up. I dabble. I don't just drink mainstream.
What is your vibe?
Do you have any other? Do you have any other sort of tradition? I definitely make. I think after being joned on,
yeah,
I've really ramped up. I had definitely had a plate of nachos, my Nubs nachos combo on Saturday watching the game.
You still did the
American cheese?
No, we had nacho cheese, but I did throw American cheese in there. I do one slice of American cheese and then sprinkle the nacho cheese on top.
Yuck!
Like Velveeta,
almost as bad as Velveeta.
Do you actually make the nacho cheese?
No. It's like straight from Harris Teeter. It says nacho cheese.
Valdez, why don't you describe your healthy plate that you brought in this morning, the three items that you sampled.
Blue cheese stuffed olives, salami and mozzarella.
Now that's acceptable.
And then cucumber with cream cheese, salmon, and dill.
A lot of cheese.
Yuck.
Cheese is silly.
Two of those three items I would like to stomp underneath
Cakes.
My Brooks of running
Cakes
shoes.
Hates cheese, and I don't
Cakes,
get it.
I want to know, what is your vibe for tonight? How confident are you? Are you confident at all, or are you
no,
just
I'm
scared
not confident at all. I'm a big old scaredy cat.
You're not confident? Come
on. Why would I be confident?
They got two cracks at this.
Yeah, they got two cracks.
They got two cracks at this.
No, I'm terrified they lose tonight. They come back to game seven.
They've had two cracks
and
before.
They lay a big egg, and then we're all disappointed.
Against
I hope
Penn.
You're right.
Look, I hope you're right. You seem to be
By
confident.
By the way, the fact,
I'm
confident. The fact that
I
he's
picked him.
Confident or not has
no bearing,
no,
no bearing on, the,
see,
on the outcome.
The Caps
I'm just
have
curious.
Had three cracks before and have lost. They've had 3-1 series leads and have lost. Not to the Penguins, But they've been in the playoffs up 3-1 and lost.
Sure. I just think...
I think it's a toss-up. So,
according to Vegas. For some reason, Vegas has them 2-1 favorites tonight.
There's a reason why, though, teams that win Game 5 win the series like 79% of the time.
I don't think that any team in this series has been a 2-1 favorite in any game yet. For some reason, tonight, they're 2-1.
Well, Jason, they think they're going to come roaring back.
Yeah. You know what's juicy tonight? Celtics money line, Caps money line parlay.
What is that?
Let's see what that would pay.
That's plus 226.
And plus 170.
Yeah.
They believe Philly's laying down.
Hold on. Let me see what home? I got. Let me see what I got for you on that.
No. The Boston
Celtics are underdogs.
He's talking about dogs.
Dog.
So if you put $100 on that, what do you win? Like 500 or something? Ish? In that range, Valdez?
20, but no, it won't be that high.
Put 100.
Oh, you put 100? Yeah, it's probably about 5-1. Let me punch in the number for you. Why, are you interested?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
No emotional hedgy tonight?
No.
The worst case scenario would be a double overtime heartbreak.
Oh, yeah. Game that goes till 11 p.m. and they lose.
Well,
and then you have the specter of a game seven.
But I can easily see an overtime game. These games are all close.
All right.
Close.
My site, I've got 100 pays 805.
Wow.
So it's about 8-1.
Right. Well, that's unlikely.
That's for the double?
Both of them.
That's for the parlay. The money line parlay.
I could see the Caps hitting. I'm not sure about Boston.
Might as well take a chance. $10, give you $81.
Yeah. I'm confident. Unlike cakes, I'm confident.
What's your confidence level then tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not overwhelmingly, but I mean,
75% chance they win tonight?
No. Between 60 and 70. Okay. I mean, I think they're going to win the series. I don't know if they're going to win tonight or they're going to win Wednesday night, but I think they're going to win the series.
Hope you're right. If they win tonight, we're partying tomorrow.
That was a huge win.
Big drunk fest tomorrow if they get past Saturday. The Pens. Second
right,
round.
Got to get out of here.
They're going to do this.
Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Great day coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.